All right. The same rules apply in the second session as the first. Be sure you're in fellowship and turn to Jeremiah 50, where we're doing a review of sorts with regard to the doctrine of the United States and prophecy, which, I dare say that of all the fundamentalist Bible-believing churches out there in this country, I'll bet you they're not teaching this one. This is like a major player, and where is he? They don't have it. This then throws everything off kilter. You've got to have all the parts here, as in other things in life, and if this isn't in the recipe, it isn't worth eating. I mean, yes, you can talk about the rapture, and you should, and other aspects of Bible prophecy. But this is a big one, and the dilemma I had way back in my life when I'd read these two chapters, 50 and 51, I knew that this didn't happen to ancient Babylon, or any of the Babylons, the Babylon of the big empire built, you know, under the leadership of Nebuchadnezzar. No, this isn't how they went down. Not even, it's a complete opposite. If there is things that are complete opposites, this is one illustration of a complete opposite. The Babylon of Nebuchadnezzar went down with a little bit of a whimper, took out the corrupt leaders. Life went on for the average citizen as if nothing had ever happened. It'd be like if they removed a bunch of these jokers from Washington, D.C., I bet we just go on. They are so corrupt. But that's another story. All right, Jeremiah 50. We are down, and you'll notice that this goes in cycles. It brings up a topic, and then it re-brings it up again. Maybe a little different vocabulary and language. It's like a wave. It comes, and then this aspect is brought out again. So when you're dealing with the nuclear annihilation of a country our size, in 1 hour or 1 day, yeah, if we're talking about one little city, but no, we're talking about a country made up of cities with a big, big agricultural base, an industrial base, and all the rest of it. That's what we're talking about. Can God do that? Yeah. And he can get someone and arm them and bless them with their military so they're capable of pulling off this ultimate surprise attack that will have no retaliation. It'd be the most one-sided thing almost imaginable. Because it's God's doing. It's the Lord's doing in the nations. Keep your mind and focused on the fact that's a part of occupation with Christ. He's got this under control. No, we don't like it in the sense that we like prophecy, but we don't like what's going on around us and what is just escalating through the roof in terms of the decay of our culture, our moral base. It's had it. It's just gone. Going, gone. Putin even points this out. He points it out. Go figure. A nation can't be anything if it doesn't have God, family, and marriage between a man and a woman. Yeah. And look at this mess over here. He was chiding the clergy of England, Church of England, for their embracing this woke sexual business. He said, may God forgive them. He said, this is the worst stuff. He chides our financial Western system. He says, it's hooliganism. And Russia's doing fine. And God has greased their skids with technology that they're putting on display. And they got things they haven't brought out of their little arsenal yet either. But from the tactical standpoint, of course, the wiping out Babylon from a far country Nobody leaves the country. It involves arrows. Open up, got the Lord's armory. All the weapons on earth are His, as is everything else. And He will use Russia as the whip nation. Okay. Verse 38, Jeremiah 50. We went through all the rest of these. It's a review for you. So you can read through it and say, oh, I know what that is. If there's one I'm not quite on top of, I will tell you. It's the way it is. I have no pride about that. A drought on her waters, and they will be dried up. Where do we get a lot of what we enjoy and use from overseas? On ships, come into these harbors, these ports, and unload their stuff. That means no more commerce from out of country. For it is land of idols, and they are mad over fearsome idols. Now, an idol, you know this, an idol is anything that you put, that a person puts in the place of a relationship, a viable relationship with God. Whether it is a traditional idol, or whether it is any activity, any pursuit of anything that throws, it can be a career, it can be anything that puts you, and in Babylon, well, the big thing is the material things. It's in our face all the time. Advertising and the rest of it. These things aren't bad in and of themselves. It is the attitude. The greed factor, the frantic pursuit of these things at the expense of other things that are of more value. Family. One's health. And of course their spiritual life. Therefore, the desert creatures will live there, along with the jackals. Well, there's going to be a new fauna regime in America going on into the rest of history. Things we don't think of other than in zoos or something. Maybe they have some farms with some of these on. The ostriches also will live in it. And it will never again be inhabited. Or dwelt in from generation to generation. It's off limits. It's banned. It's against God's law in the kingdom, this. And then analogy. As when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah with its neighbors, declares the Lord. That was a real quick one, wasn't it? Fire out of the sky. Sulfur balls with magnesium in them that were ignited. Nothing you find in the natural world. They were created and they were ignited and they came down on them. I got one of those stinky things in my office in a little box. Someone ran it down for me online because someone went out there along the Dead Sea and did some digging with a shovel. Boom, there they are. Got nowhere to dig. Some of them didn't get ignited. But it reduced those cities to ashes. And these weren't flimsy cities. So the analogy to Sodom and Gomorrah is interesting in two ways. One, the way it happened. And two, the reason it happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. And they were a big, prosperous people. They were commercial types. They like things, money, business, blah, blah, blah. That whole area was very, very, very fertile, unlike what it is today. But at least that can be inhabited again. We drove through it or by it. We did. They got a hotel sitting out there. You can take you a mud bath out there if you want to. Big, pretty hotels. Right along the West Bank of the Dead Sea. And they got boats out there. They don't last very long out there because of the content of the water. The rust factor is just incredible. But the Jews have harvested. It's a big area. You can check it out if you're interested. area where they've harvested all these minerals and stuff. It's big time. Stuff you can't find elsewhere. It's a gold mine of minerals. But it will all be reestablished and beautiful and wonderful and a part of the territory of Israel, green once again, and so forth. They say the Dead Sea is coming back. The life is starting to show up there again. Of course, the thing that will finally do it is the river out of the New Jerusalem. Out of the Jerusalem, not the New Jerusalem, the Jerusalem of the millennium. No man will live there, nor any son of man reside in it. You know, like if you were singing a song that was narrative type stuff, like, I know you may not like him, but does narrative stuff with certain repetitions in it, like Bob Dylan? Some of those that do that kind of music, not just the same little phrase over and over a million times, but add some history and stuff in it. Well, we've seen this before, haven't we? Behold, a people is coming from the north, and a great nation and many kings will be aroused from the remote parts of the earth. They seize bow and javelin. Javelin's another projectile. It illustrates a missile. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roars like the sea, and they ride on horses, marshaled like a man for battle. Perhaps that is a reference to their bombing fleet, airplanes. Against you, O daughter of Babylon. The reaction on the part of our top leader when this happens is reflected in verse 43. The king, that is ruler of Babylon, has heard the report about them, and his hands hang limp. He doesn't die outright. He's probably in some bunker. His hands hang limp. Distress has gripped him, agony like a woman in childbirth. The final leader of America. I'm going to skip all the rest of this narrative for now, or skip it, and go to 51. It's the same stuff over and over again, but it adds some new things. Thus says the Lord. It's like Jeremiah got these in increments. Behold, I'm going to arouse against Babylon, against the inhabitants of... Oh, now that's the one I meant. What was that? Leb Kamai. I should have remembered what that is. It is taking the Hebrew letters and switching them around. Like if you had the 15th letter in your alphabet, let's say it's the 8th letter. You go 8, 8, and you put this together. It's in my notes. I forgot it. The spirit of a destroyer. I will dispatch foreigners to Babylon that they may winnow her and may devastate her land. For on every side they will be opposed to her in the day of her calamity. So apparently the attack is going to come from virtually every direction. This can be accomplished with submarines and, of course, intercontinental ballistic missiles. Let not him who bends his bow bend it, nor let him rise up in his scale armor. Do not spare her young men. That's dealing with that the U.S. military will be completely negated. We've gone downhill in that department like crazy because we're so stupid. What do we do with all our resources? Look at all we squandered in Afghanistan. A lot of good that got us. This is the kind of leaders we have. And now we're sending stuff to Ukraine. But I know it's a broken record. It's just countries are turned over to this insanity. They will fall down, slain in the land of the Chaldeans. Again, that is your code for Anglo-Saxon. And pierced through in their streets. For neither Israel nor Judah has been forsaken by his God, the Lord of the armies, although their land is full of guilt before the Holy One of Israel. Oh, is it ever? Is it ever? The land of Israel, full of guilt. Let's just start with, they rejected their Messiah to this day. And then the stunt they're going to pull in the tribulation with the Antichrist. Right up until their great deliverance and establishment in the kingdom. Before the Holy One of Israel. Flee from the midst of Babylon. There's that recurring theme that believers or people, after the rapture, they've got the inconvenient, they got this choice, stay put and die in a nuclear holocaust, or get in the will of God and leave and find some other place to go to. I know it'd be a hard choice, but I don't have to make it, neither do you. I'm going to go to Western Europe where the Antichrist is reigning supreme. I told you that in order for the rapture to occur, everything has to be in place. Only God knows when that's all in place. Every detail. We have a verse that says he's not willing that any should perish. He's not talking about, I don't want anybody to go to hell. That's a true doctrine. But the thing is, he can't hurry this up, change the equation, because one, all the believers that were foreknown that would be a part of the church have to be on board, in other words, believers. There will be someone right at the dead end that will believe in Christ. And that'll fill the package. Only God could possibly know that. Okay. So, Israel has not been forsaken, though their land is full of guilt. There you are. There's your flee from the midst of Babylon, and each of you save his life. Do not be destroyed in her punishment, and you can check that over with Revelation 18, where the same thing is said. For this is the Lord's time of vengeance; he's going to render payback to her. That's your recompense. Babylon has been a golden cup in the hand of the Lord. So this couldn't apply to a golden cup in the hand of the Lord. This is the material prosperity of historical America in its heyday. And this golden cup is in the hand of the Lord. Our destiny is under his control. The whole history. This cup has been intoxicating all the earth. Intoxicating. Our viewpoint being spread around of various kinds. You can break that down. The nations have drunk of her wine, therefore the nations are going mad. We're getting blamed for all the craziness out there in the world in a lot of respects. Apparently so. American foreign policy. Suddenly Babylon has fallen and been forsaken. Wail over her. Bring balm for her pain. Perhaps she may be healed. This is taunting. This is sarcasm. Okay? We applied healing to Babylon. Who's we? We applied healing to Babylon, but she was not healed. Any communicators at any time who have been pointing these things out, and this country will not take this to heart, well, she's not healed. This country could, technically, biblically, turn around, but it's not going to. It's already, you know, handwriting's on the wall. But the thing is, even a country as corrupt as ours has become, and all the bad stuff we've done in our history that we glorify, our manufactured wars and other things that you could name, our monetary system, the way we view, the creation of currency and money and all the things we do. Putin said, our monetary system is hooliganism. But she was not healed. Okay, let's go to his own country. Judgment has reached to heaven and towers to the very skies. That theme is also brought out, I believe, in chapter 18 of Revelation. It's a takeoff on the Tower of Babel that they wanted to build this thing all the way to the third heaven before it got shut down. So, this is imaginary. It's our sins reach a point when the wrath that is comes meets the crime. The punishment meets the crime principle. And for it to be destroyed in this way, so thoroughly, and never be occupied again, and be and have this stigma forever, and then the sins have to tower to the skies. The Lord has brought about our vindication. Come, let us recount in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Jews coming from America. The reverse of the Neil Diamond song, coming to America. There's all kinds of irony in all this, you know. He's a Jew too, by the way, singing this song, coming to America. It's going to be reversed. That's why back in the day it just dawned on me. Well, we'll go to that later. Sharpen the arrows, fill the quivers. What's that got to do? That's the thermonuclear arsenal that Russia has developed quietly, steadily, and God has greased their skins, their skids, and has blessed their thinking to put together weapons we don't have, a level we don't have. We're too busy in social things and stupid stuff. And yeah, you can go off and send an army off in some little country and push them around and do stuff. That's not fighting a major world power. You're not equipped for that. The Lord has aroused the spirit of the kings of the Medes. And as I told you in the historical data, that the Medes in the Medo-Persian Empire and in the army of the Persians were famous for their archery skills. The Medes just seemed to have a knack for it. That racial component within Persians, Medes, and then there was a lesser group called Elamites. The Medes were the archers in the armies of Cyrus the Great. That's the spirit of the kings of the Medes. That's why they're brought out here. And as I said before, the Medes had nothing to do with the fall of Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon. Nothing. They didn't have to shoot arrows over the wall. Fiery ones at that. No, it was done like I told you. Because his purpose against Babylon to destroy it. For it is the vengeance of the Lord, vengeance for his temple. Now that one I don't know. Vengeance for his temple. Is that the temple in heaven? And how would that work? Is that the temple yet to be built in Israel? I don't know. That's a question. So I put a question mark over that. Lift up a signal against the walls of Babylon. Put a postcard, sent sentries. Place men in ambush, for the Lord has both purposed and confirmed when he spoke concerning the citizens of Babylon. O you who dwell by many waters, ancient Iraq and the city of Babylon of antiquity, and Baghdad and whatever's over there, they don't dwell by many waters. They have a prominent water source in the Euphrates. It is to that part of the world what the Nile is to Egypt. It's the geographical feature that without which neither one of those countries would have ever thrived. Just like we have a Mississippi running down the center of our country. It's been a big geographical asset in that it's cheap transport of goods down that river. It does put it on a barge and away we go. So, you who dwell by many waters, that gets the Atlantic, the Pacific, and the Caribbean. That qualifies as many waters. So the geography of the latter-day Babylon has to meet this qualification. It has to dwell in the midst or by many waters. See all the clues? It just keeps pushing you down that road. I can't think of anyone else that is the leading economic power of the world, and let each go to his own country. It's the only country on earth whose population is built on immigration. as immortalized by the Statue of Liberty. That was made by a French mason, and that head of Chrysler, he put up money to get it a facelift because it was showing its wear sitting out there. Abundant in treasures. That wouldn't qualify for some countries, for sure. Your end has come, the measure of your end. The Lord of the armies has sworn by himself, surely I will fill you with a population like locusts. Locusts strip everything. So this is the nuclear effect. And they will cry out with shouts of victory over you. He who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding he stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there is a tumult of waters in the heavens, and he causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth. He makes lightning for rain and brings forth the wind from his storehouses. And a verse I quote a lot, all mankind is stupid. The smartest ones out there, they're just stupid without Bible doctrine. We don't want to end up in that category, do we? Though we all started from the stupid level. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his molten images are deceitful, and there is no breath in them. This is an attack on idolatry that involves the work of men's hands. They're worthless, a work of mockery. In the time of their punishment, they will perish. The portion of Jacob is not like these, for the maker of all is he, and of the tribe of his inheritance, the Lord of the armies is his name. He says, and we feature now Jesus Christ, from the perspective of the Old Testament, as the Lord of history and the things he does, you are my war club, my weapon of war. See, this goes out beyond Babylon. And with you I shatter nations, and with you I destroy kingdoms. With you I shatter the horse and its rider, whatever form of transportation you're talking about. And with you I shatter the chariot and its rider. And with you I shatter man and woman. And with you I shatter old man and youth. And with you I shatter young man and virgin. And with you I shatter the shepherd and his flock. And with you I shatter the farmer and his team. And with you I shatter governors and prefects. But I will repay Babylon and all the inhabitants of Chaldea. Again, code for Anglo-Saxons. For all their evil they've done in Zion before your eyes, declares the Lord. We've been meddling in Israel's affairs. We're over there, oh, we want a two-nation. We want a two-state nation. You need to respect the Palestinians. And blah, blah, blah. All that. Again, America's sticking its big nose where it shouldn't be. It got way away from tending to its own business. Trying to live at peace with all nations and trade, yes, but none of this other business. And Israel was no exception. Excuse me. I'm against you, O destroying mountain. Another description of the United States, destroying mountain, who destroys the whole earth. Our influence is spread everywhere. You think that's an exaggeration, huh? It is not. We would not have had the rise of Bolshevik communism. And if we did, we could have turned Patton loose on them. They were on their heels and overthrew that mess and liberated all those Russian people that were dying in gulags and all this other mess that went on with these Jewish Bolsheviks. Stalin, Lenin, Trotsky, Karl Marx. He was a... And I'm not against Jews. I'm against evil Jews. So is God. They just happened to be. And they took over Russia. And we financed it. Lend-lease. I got books in my library done by a scholar out of Stanford University, where he documents all of the trade and transfer of technologies and money and businessmen over the height of the Vietnam War. businessmen are over there in Russia. That was Bolshevik Russia. Man, has that thing ever turned? Christianity of all forms was suppressed. They didn't burn up. By the way, they didn't overthrow synagogues. Those people that ruled, until we get to the Putin era, that transition, you had the oligarchs and then the transition into what we have now, they were all Satanists. They say they were atheists, okay, but they were Satanists. And I don't mean just following Satan like a dummy out here that has no doctrine. I mean actively Satan followers. Like we've got so many in this country now, and it's come out in the open. Satanism. Hardcore Satanism. And when you deal with that, you're dealing with everything that is opposed to everything God sponsors. Everything. All the divine institutions. They don't like any of them. God established it. They don't like it. Wrecking the environment. I'm driving down the road. There's so many damn chemtrails over there, overhead. I'm thinking, what? And not one person on the news says, hey, okay, call me a conspiracy theorist, a CIA term, by the way, to scare people off. Then get me some of these chemicals, take them to independent labs, and tell me what the hell's in them. You're going to find it's a bunch of aluminum and other stuff. For what? Now, we live in the land. All this damage is being done. The average person is just oblivious. Who won the game? You know, where are you going on vacation? Not that those aren't legitimate questions. It's just that you're caught up in this at this time. All right, I'll let you go. I'll see you Tuesday night, God willing. One way or another. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.